Hey, good evening, Teach Better family. It's Brad Hughes with my special guest, Lindsay Titus, and we're joining you live tonight, Sunday, weekly warm-up time here, streaming exclusively in the Teach Better private Facebook group. We are really excited to help you kickstart your week with intention, positivity, definitely some shenanigans, and of course, great content from Lindsay to help set you up for a week of success, whatever your role in education might be. We're here every Sunday night live, and we hope that if you're joining us tonight, you'll say hello in the comments. Let us know who you are, where you're joining us from, and how we can make tonight's Sunday weekly warm-up super special for you. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hey everyone, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. It's the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up, your live show each and every Sunday night, streaming live exclusively in our Teach Better private Facebook group. And tonight I have the pleasure and the excitement and the honor. And you might be able to tell I'm a Lindsay Titus super fan. I'm delighted to introduce and reintroduce my friend, educator, author, podcaster, behavior specialist, and intention specialist, Lindsay Titus. Hi, Lindsay.
Hey, Brad. How are you?
I am doing great. We've had a beautiful, sunny, and warmish Sunday here in Southern Ontario. Temperatures are rising to the mid-60s after a really, really rainy week. And I'm wondering how things are with you and family in Western New York, Lindsay.
We are hanging in here. Hanging in Western New York. We are... it is, I'm sorry if you can hear my toddler. That's just the way that we roll here in the Titus household.
Of course.
We'll get like one sunny day and then we get like a week of rain and clouds. So we're right now in that rain and clouds. So I'm just fingers crossed for a sunny day coming soon.
Lindsay, we had so much rain here. I thought I might've seen some neighbors building an ark and gathering neighborhood animals to make an escape. Did that kind of rainy weather come up for you where you are?
Yes, 100%. Yep. It just kept coming, but it is what it is, right?
And, you know, we had almost a solid week of indoor recesses. Our week kicked off, of course, with the solar eclipse. And here in Southern Ontario, the clouds broke long enough for people to take that in. Was that on your calendar, Lindsay, either at school or at home?
So we had the day off. So it was the last day of our spring break. But no, Rochester, we were in the path of totality, but of course, in true Rochester fashion, we had full clouds. So it was still a really cool experience though. We did not get to see what most people saw.
Well, yeah. Talk about path of totality, Lindsay, like total cloud cover. Like you were in the path of complete cloud cover, but what an interesting event, bringing communities and especially educational communities, with the curiosity and the excitement of kids from the kids at heart, really enjoying that. And what made that, what else has made the week special for you and in the Titus household?
So this week, I think it was really, so this weekend we got to celebrate, my older daughter had another dance competition. So that's always fun, getting to see her live out her passion. I think, you know, as a parent, I love seeing her do what she loves and what brings her joy that then brings me joy. But I think the other thing we did really intentionally this week is we kept things really easy. Coming off of a break, you know, it's always that shift back into, okay, you know, now I'm getting back into the work and home blend, whereas I was home for probably, I think, 11 days, right? So that's very different. And so we kept things intentionally simple so that we were able to build our momentum back into, because we still have a good 10 weeks to go here in Western New York with until summer. So I really wanted to make sure that we got that momentum, not too fast, obviously not too slow, so we're dragging our feet, but that we were really just present as much as we could be.
You know, Lindsay, for those who may be just getting to know you for the first time, or for those that know and want to know a little bit more about you, I know that you fulfill many, many roles at home, school, and community. So let us know about those important roles that you fill and kind of what fills your bucket, what lights you up about the different roles that you play.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, Lindsay Titus, clearly I'm from Rochester, as we've talked about. And before I dive into roles, because I think this is really important for anybody listening, is that making sure you define yourself by just kind of how you want to live life. So I love to say that I'm a passionate and compassionate human being who loves being a source of strength and support for both myself and others. And I do that in a multitude of roles. So I do that as a K-12 behavior specialist for about 10 more weeks, because then I'm jumping back into the classroom.
That's
super
right.
Excited about that. And I'm also a wife, a mom of two, and then I'm also a business owner of Define University, where I get to coach and consult teachers on just how to do just this, design and define a life that is under within their means, right? Within something that they can control. And we focus a lot on behavior change practices, because that truly is what builds our momentum moving forward.
And when we talk about behavior change practices, Lindsay, I know in your life and in your work, you advocate for behavior change, starting with reflection on, and in the name of your company, defining yourself, defining you, who you intend to be. And intention is what you're all about.
Yes, 100%. Yep.
Tell me more about the work that you're doing with Define University and with the Define University podcast.
Yeah. So I, you know, intentionality is such a key word to it. And it can be one of those trendy words, right? Well, let's just live more intentionally. But the how, I think, is the key part. And so we will hear a lot of times like live intentionally, set your intentions, which is really could be a synonym for your aspirations, even your goals for the week or your outcomes that you hope to achieve.
Yeah.
But we all know if we don't take steps to get there, then they stay goals and dreams. They stay like up here, right? And so through my coaching, my model is designed to individualize and personalize coaching to fit you where you're at. So I offer three different levels of coaching, but it's really designed at that, is helping you design and define your lives both inside and outside of the classroom so that you can show up present, you can create this life that you are passionate about, and you just honestly are having more fun getting to do the things that you love, as well as the things that maybe you don't, but we can bring a different mindset to it so that we're creating that day to flow as we want it to.
You know, Lindsay, in my various roles as an educator, a school leader, former teacher, parent, neighbor, friend, colleague, I found myself in many, many cycles of defining myself, defining my success based on the response and the impact that I had or that was reflected back to me from others. And so, you know, eager to please, recovering people pleaser, also a recovering perfectionist. I wonder if you can reflect on cycles in your own life that maybe have really redefined and helped you make just a firm commitment to keeping things simple when they need to, but knowing yourself first and foremost.
100%. I think, so the place you just described, if people know me, you know that I call that Shouldville, right?
That's right.
When we do things because we think it's what we should do, it's what other people want us to do, or what we should do so that people will like us or whatever, fill in the blank, it's Shouldville. And the whole reason I know how to live out of Shouldville is because I lived there for decades. I can't even say years, because it truly has been decades. Mm-hmm. That I truly had a fixed mindset when it came to life. I thought that it just was how it was, that this is just the way that, you know, things are going to be, and this is the way that my life is, and I can't do anything to change it. And I ultimately got to a place where I had tried a few different positions in the education field, and I still was feeling defeated every single day. I still was coming home crying every single day. And I finally looked at my husband and said, there has to be a simpler way. And after said, it was like, at that point, like, I just kind of like put it out there, and then things seemed to fall into place. I got my own coach. I started to figure out life from the inside out versus what I had always done, which was the outside in. And I finally figured out who I was, so I can show up and do everything I love to do with energy, with passion, with excitement. And there's still tough days. Like, I don't want anyone to hear, like, I still, you know, struggle. I'm still challenged. I still have, you know, grief situations, but I know how to manage them. I know how to be aware of them, and I know how to stay in control of them most of the time.
I love how real and how authentic you are, Lindsay. Like, we've gotten to know each other as colleagues, as good friends. We've had the opportunity to meet in person at Teach Better 22, and just, you know, being a companion in your life and in your work has been extremely uplifting for me. And I've said to Lindsay that you have an uncanny ability to serve me up something that I need to see or hear or reflect on so that I can move my work, my week, and continue to move myself forward with authenticity and passion. How do you do that? How do you have this uncanny ability to know what I need and to serve up what I need each and every week?
Like, I think the honest answer is because it's usually what I need too. And, you know, I will always say it's pretty evident. Like when you're in a room with somebody, you know, you feed off of each other, right? We all know that. Are you being the thermometer? Are you being the thermostat? Like, which one are you being? But I also believe that that applies to the virtual space as well, because I can't tell you the number of people that are either in my coaching programs or in my groups, in my courses, that will say the exact same thing. I will like throw a post out there and they will say, are you reading my mind today? Like, what is happening? And I'll say, no, I'm just reading my own, but I'm glad we're connected, right? There's those connections that we have. And so I think it is, you know, the message to share that if you have something that's helpful, share it out there. Somebody is going to also connect with it, which is super important.
Lindsay, on the screen, if you're joining us live, you can see your Instagram feed. I subscribe to you on Instagram as well as on Facebook. And we're going to dive too later into a newsletter that's been really, really impactful for me. I noticed one of the posts here on behavior change practices, which is really your bread and butter. It's what you have been passionate about, how you've been serving and contributing for many, many years. But such an interesting shift in perspective for me and for others that are getting to know you is that behavior change is not something that we do to kids or even with kids or for kids. It begins with a behavior change in knowing ourselves. Could you touch a little bit on that? And maybe people want to jump into that post and learn some more.
Yeah. And this is really a relatively new reframe for me. So I'm all about reframes. Probably the first reframe I learned was really that should piece, right? Instead of saying like, I should do this, it's I choose to do this. But I recently, as I've been diving into all of this work, it just kept coming to me like, why are we calling this behavior management? Like, we don't change behavior by managing it. Nobody likes to be managed. Nobody likes to be micromanaged. And our students are the same. And I just kept coming back to, we have all these other things that we continue to say, well, we've got to practice them. We have to practice academics and social emotional learning and restorative practices. We've got to do the same for behavior. Behavior change does not happen overnight. Behavior change happens when we change, so that we can inspire, influence, motivate, coach, teach, guide, whatever word you want to use, others to change. And if we can have that reframe, then, and this is what happened to me, I no longer went into my day saying, okay, I have to change behavior, or I have to do something different, or I have to, right? It wasn't necessarily, it does start with me. Behavior change does start with me, but it's, I get to reframe my mindset. It's, I get to provide a calming experience for this student. I get to use forced choices with, like, it totally shifted what I looked at. And I get to remind myself that these are things we practice every day. So if it doesn't go well tomorrow, I got Tuesday to show back up again and try again. And that's really where that reframe came from, because I think behavior management, we go to the traditional view of that, and yet we also know that doesn't work.
And, you know, I'm wondering if you can reflect on, maybe comment on your own frame of mind as you're dealing with and supporting students who are showing up with challenging behaviors. Do you find that reframe is helping you to lower your own stress so that you can, I guess, manage, or you can, I guess, calm yourself so that you can share your calm with kids that need it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So when I am experiencing a situation that with a student that themselves are experiencing challenge, the first key that I need to do is regulate myself. Because what's going to happen naturally, because my brain is going to think that I'm in a dangerous situation, even if I'm not, in that moment, my brain doesn't know any different. So my fight or flight response starts going. I'm actually a freeze response. So I'm going to freeze, which doesn't do me any good in a situation like that. And so I've got to regulate myself. And I do that by really staying present and observing the behavior. So often we want to throw judgment in there, and I don't mean judgment in a bad way, but we attach meaning to what we're seeing based on our own experience and our own bias for behavior. But when I can simply say, okay, I notice the student's face is getting red. I notice the student ripped up their paper. I notice the student, right? Then I'm not, that I'm staying kind of disconnected, but I'm actually connecting, if that makes sense. And that helps me regulate so that I can then provide that experience or provide the strategy, provide the prompt to the student so they can help go through that regulation process, whatever that looks like for them.
You know, Lindsay, it reminds me of a Ted Lassoism. Ted Lasso would share the wisdom that we want to stay curious, not judgmental. And in my own role and in my own progress as an adult who accompanies kids through various stages of emotion, dysregulation, or frustration, I'm wondering about how you position yourself with that stance of curiosity to kind of be like an emotion detective or a behavior detective.
So it starts honestly in the morning when I'm getting ready. So one of the things that, again, if you know me, you know that there's really no like work Lindsay and home Lindsay. It's you get Lindsay. Like, this is me. And so if I know something is best for me at 3 o'clock, I'm going to do it at 3 o'clock, but I'm also going to do it in the morning. And so when I'm getting ready in the morning, what I used to do was like dread the day, like, oh my gosh, I have this today. And then I have that. I'm not going to get home till 9 o'clock. I'm going to already be exhausted going into tomorrow. Like, Monday hasn't even happened yet. And now I'm already like hyper-focused on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so instead, when I'm getting ready, I remind myself of just these things. I remind myself of, I get to stay curious today. Or I get to, if I do come across a behavior, how am I going to respond? And I'm walking myself through this, but at a pace that works for me, or at a level, at an intensity level that works. So it's not, I'm not trying to set myself up that this is going to happen, but it's just, if something should happen, here's what I'm going to do. You know, I remind myself that, you know, regulation is going to be required at some point in today. It's either going to be needed for me or for a student or a staff I work with, because we are human beings and we have emotions.
Right.
We are not trying to eliminate them. We learn to work with them. And it's just not even reframes, but just reminders like that, that I start, I do them when I'm driving to school. I do them, you know, as I'm walking in the halls, I do them just when I can to make sure that I'm staying as present to the situation. But it truly is embedding it into your daily practice so that it becomes really a habit for you.
It reminds me of many of the 7 habits of effective people. It's, you know, 7 habits of highly effective people, beginning with the end in mind. So if the end is regulation through the day to kind of ride those waves of emotions and experiences and to allow ourselves a breathing room to cope with the unexpected, it starts with how we begin the day, Lindsay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Lindsay, there's so much more I want to dig into. We're going to shift to our next segment, which is Sunday strategies. You've already dropped the wisdom and dropped the strategies, and you're full, just incredible resource. And we're going to be right back after this break to dive into maybe 1 or 2 strategies that have come up for me and made an impact on your social media. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hey everyone, welcome back. It's Brad Hughes from the Teach Better team here with my guest, Lindsay Titus, educator, podcaster, author, entrepreneur, mom, a small business owner, a coach, and just an awesome human being. And we're joining you live tonight in the Sunday Weekly Rump Space. Lindsay and I are joining you exclusively in the Teach Better private Facebook group on Sunday nights. And then tomorrow, Lindsay, around this time, this episode will be rebroadcast and shared on all the socials, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, LinkedIn, as well as the Teach Better YouTube channel. And magically, it's going to appear as an episode of the Teach Better Talk podcast so that more and more people can, well, get to know you and get to know all of the goodness that you share. And, you know, Lindsay, before the break, I was commenting on your uncanny ability to serve me reminders, messages, strategies, encouragement that I need And it's just like magic. And a couple have really been impactful for me. And one of the reasons I wanted to reach out and invite you back to the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up is maybe to dive in to a couple of strategies that educators might benefit from as they take a look ahead to their week in education. Are you all set for that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Fantastic. Recently, you shared a strategy that you use maybe on a Sunday night. And as educators and other busy people in the community are kind of looking ahead to the week, whether it's with dread, trepidation, excitement, kind of that melancholy, kind of blah, whatever it is, you shared a strategy that you use to do, I guess, a brain dump, to organize your thoughts and organize your priorities for the week ahead. And if I remember correctly, it involves some kind of a grid. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am all about, like I mentioned before, small, simple strategies, right? Or small, simple steps. And what does that mean? It basically usually means you just need a sheet of paper and a pen.
Yeah.
That is like my go-to resource. And so oftentimes, either on a Sunday night or maybe sometimes even on like a Friday night heading into the weekend. So this is one you can save kind of for next weekend too. Is we often hear like, try not to think about work for the weekend, right? Or we might even not hear that, but we might tell ourselves that, like, okay, I've got two and a half days off. I'm gonna not think about work. But the way that the brain works is the more that you do that, the more you're gonna think about work. Uh-huh. It's the whole concept. If I say right now, like, don't think of a blue elephant, we all just thought of a blue elephant. That is the way that our minds work.
For sure.
So I encourage people, instead of telling yourself, don't think about something, have a system for when you do. And I love taking a simple sheet of paper, drawing four quadrants, if you will.
Yep.
And you can label them what best serves you. I personally like to do Monday morning because to me that's like urgent, right? Like the first thing I got to do when I get to work. Monday afternoon, is there something that after work I've got to do to prep for the next week? And then I group Tuesday, Wednesday, kind of middle of the week, and then Thursday, Friday, right? That end of the week.
Right.
And that way, as all the things come to your mind through the weekend, because the way our neurons work, things that we don't even think about will like connect to something. We're like, I got to do that. But the piece is really pausing to say, do I actually have to do it in this second? And if we don't have a system to go do something with it, our brain wants to hold on to it until it's done. Okay. So writing it on this grid allows it to be a quote unquote done in your mind. So you can then move on because now you have it scheduled. Now you're saying, okay, here's my list. And if you're someone that looking at that brain dump becomes too overwhelming, the beauty is you just cut it into your four quadrants. Monday morning, now you have a nice small sheet of paper to help get your week started productively, but also intentionally.
Is it kind of like a purposeful to-do list or is there more to it?
That's really it. Like I love the simplicity of it because mm-hmm. again, I find sometimes you just can write things down, but they don't necessarily have to be in any order. It's simply just things that as you're thinking of them and then you can take a look, right? So Monday morning, I might look at that list and decide these really didn't need to be done this morning. Maybe they felt urgent Saturday morning or Sunday night, but now that it's Monday, nope, I'm good. I can either cross them off or move them to another day. But it helps you be mindful of where your time is being spent because we know time is the one thing we don't get back. And so I don't want to waste my time doing something that I don't really need to do. And so I do love the word purposeful because any action that we're taking, if there isn't purpose behind it, that's when over time we start to almost resent what we're doing. We resent the actions we're taking. So if I know I'm taking actions that serve me and align to me that then get to help others, like that's a win-win right there for me.
Lindsay, do you think time is the enemy? Like, or do you think that there's a different approach or a different mindset around time that can be freeing when we think about our busy lives?
So I, a long time ago, not even a long time ago, I guess, like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I decided to commit to the standard that there is always enough time for everything. Like there's always enough time. And so when I start to feel like, cause I do, my husband can attest to it where I'm like, there's not enough time.
Yeah.
I will immediately reframe, right? That's where that reframe comes into play. And I'll say there is, I always get things done. There's always enough time. I've got to just kind of take the emotion out of what I'm feeling, not take the emotion out of what I'm thinking and truly feel it so that I can then release it. And by putting things on paper, it helps me because I'm visual. If you're more of an auditory person, you could use the voice note in your phone. You get the same, the same message across to yourself. But it really helps me to take control of my time and make sure it's being spent where I want it to be.
You know, I had quite an interesting Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning here, Lindsay. I drove into Toronto about an hour away, big metro area here in Southern Ontario. As we were talking about a pouring rain, and I was trying to make a 9 o'clock appointment. So I left in what I thought was plenty of time. I gave myself what I call lost time or unexpected time. And along the way, in addition to the weather, there was traffic. There were two collisions that caused me to detour two times. And of course, I'm watching the clock. I'm watching the time it's going to take to arrive at my 9 o'clock appointment. I arrived really, really frazzled. I arrived late. And then after the appointment was over, I had to turn around and do the same thing again. I returned home feeling like just pretty exhausted and drained. And then I made a commitment to return to work after the appointment midday. I just wasn't feeling at my best. And then I remembered some advice that you shared on your socials. And that was to divide your day into quadrants or into sections so that if you are having that kind of a day and if you're having that kind of a challenge, you can just set that challenge aside. And, well, actually, I'd love you to dig into that. What's that all about?
Yeah. So you can tell I like themes and patterns, right? Quadrants on paper, quadrants in your day. Again, keep things really simple. But this one came out of, I was so frustrated with if my morning went rough or didn't go as I expected, that I would automatically make the connection then that the rest of my day is going to be the same, right? Or we get to the end of the day and I'm reflecting like today was terrible, all because maybe 2 hours in my morning didn't go as planned or didn't go as I wanted them to. And so I started to, again, reframe and think, well, what if I break my day? Because I get to define it. You get to define your day into different capacities. And so for me, you know, my morning quadrant is like 5 a.m. to about 8 o'clock when I start work.
Yeah.
My second quadrant is about 8 to 2, which is not my full work day, but a good chunk of it. Mm-hmm. You know, then like 2 to 6, my afternoon, kind of I call it like mom mode, right? Get the kids to where they need to be and all of that. And then 6 to like 9, right? 6 to 9 p.m. And that way I have nice intentional check-in points. Right. So at 8 o'clock, I can check in and say, great, my morning, you know, shift number one is complete or quadrant, you know, whatever you want to call it. I'm heading into 2, and then 2 is complete. I'm heading into 3. And so not only do you have these energy check-ins, which I think are essential to check in truly with yourself. How am I doing? Where am I at? What do I need? But it allows you when you get to the end of the day. Yeah, you can still honor that first part was difficult. I'm not trying to say like we're going to sugarcoat and everything's going to be okay. But you can say, and then in my second section, I did this, and my third, I did this. And you can still build your momentum, even if something earlier in your day doesn't go as planned. And it works for the opposite too, right? If your evening is really tough, but the rest of your day built, now you've got things to still build on versus feeling like you have to start over the next day.
Lindsay, intentional about your week, intentional about each day, giving yourself the emotional space to really reckon with and reframe unexpected things that come up. If you could maybe give a challenge to those that are watching and listening live tonight, or maybe if they're picking up our conversation later in the week and they're just due for just a positive shift in their week, can you think of a challenge or opportunity that our viewers might have?
Yeah. So we've talked obviously a lot about intentionality, and we've talked a lot about some simple action steps. And my challenge to you is to merge them together. So what often happens is we will set the intention. I want to be more patient this week. I want to be more organized this week, right? We will set good intentions, but then we fall short on taking aligned action. Or we will do lots of aligned actions. We'll do all the things, but we didn't really have a goal in mind, right? Or that outcome we were looking for. So either one, we feel off balance. We don't feel like we are in alignment. And so my challenge to you is to pick one, keep it simple, and one step you will take tomorrow or the next day or that day, whenever you're listening to this, that aligns with, that is getting you closer to meeting that intention. That is how you are starting to build and design and define a life defined by you.
Lindsay, incredible. And I can't wait to I can't wait to see you after this quick break. We're going to dive into our Sunday Spark, and I'd like you, everyone's week to be sparked by some more Lindsay Titus goodness. We're right back. Welcome back, everybody. You're in the Sunday weekly warm-up space here in the Teach Better Private Facebook group. My name is Brad Hughes, my guest, friend, colleague, and partner in crime, Lindsay Titus, in terms of getting set up for a wonderful week. Lindsay, we're bringing everyone a Sunday spark, something to sort of jumpstart our excitement, our enthusiasm, and maybe sort of a connective aspect in learning a new strategy or a new tip that we can share with other educators or indeed even with our kids. And I would love to bring your newsletter to our audience as the Sunday Spark, because it is literally a Sunday Spark in your inbox. Can you tell us about the weekly 222 newsletter?
Yeah, so this has been a creation over the last few years. My newsletter has looked a bunch of different ways, and ultimately, a few months ago, I decided on this format, and I have gotten such great feedback that I just continue with it. And so each week, I basically just kind of, I come up with a topic. But again, they're very broad in the sense of like, this week was about like activating your authenticity. Like they're very broad, but then my goal is to make that simplified for you. So there's always two affirmations, because again, I'm big on the positive self-talk. There's always two reflection, maybe paragraphs. I say two reflection questions, but there's always more than two in there. But ways to reflect on a topic, and then two steps that you can take, two tips, two strategies to use to actually build your momentum and practice this skill this week. Because again, that the whole concept that behavior change comes from practice is so important to me. So each week you will find that. If there's like webinars or masterclasses that I'm doing, you'll find that info as well in there. But that's really it. Every week, two affirmations, two reflections, two mindset tips.
And that is too good. And I tell you, every time that that reaches my inbox on Sunday, it's a difference maker for me, and I'm certain to be a difference maker for our Teach Better family. So Lindsay, how easy is it to get signed up for your 222 newsletter and to find out more about you and to stay connected?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. I hope I try and make it easy. My website's the best place to do that. So if you head to defineuniversity.com, and university is Y-O-U university, or if you come find me on Instagram, that's where I am the most frequent. That's my handle here, Lindsay Titus EDU. You can either DM me there or the link, which I know is like outdated now, but if you click the link in my bio, you can sign up for the newsletter right there.
Lindsay, what's exciting you about the next few weeks of school, important weeks in any school year, but also as you look ahead to returning to a role you're passionate about in September?
Yeah. So I think for me, you know, again, we have 10 weeks left. So I think one of the hardest parts, especially being in Western New York, having that much time left, is there's so many people on social media right now that are finishing, right? They've got maybe 3 weeks left or four weeks left. And I find myself being like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. And I'm like, wait, I got 10 weeks. Like, we're still okay. But I love this quarter because I love to continue strengthening relationships with students and staff. And I find that as the weather gets nicer and you can get outside, and I just find you can continue to build those relationships. Currently as a behavior specialist, obviously a lot of my work is, are students making progress on their behavioral goals? Really, are they increasing those replacement strategies? We just did our behavior progress monitoring for quarter three, and so many of my students are making such amazing progress that it's just a huge celebration between parents and staff and the student. And it's just a wonderful experience to be a part of. And then, yeah, like I'm headed back in the classroom in September, and I couldn't be more excited, which I never thought I would say those words. So again, never say never, right? But I'm just super excited to put a lot of the strategies that I know and hear and see from amazing educators into practice. And so I just feel like my momentum is going to continue to build to finish out this year strong, but then get super excited about September as well.
So good. And Lindsay, you're a difference maker in every aspect, in every role that you fulfill. And I love that you know yourself, you value yourself, and you value not only what you do, but you value what you're learning and how you continue to change and evolve through your practice. Anyway, it's been wonderful having you in the Sunday Wicked Warm Up Space with us, Lindsay. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks for having me. I so appreciate it.
Every conversation with you is a delight, and I know that we're looking forward to a great week ahead in education. Make sure that you catch up with us again every Sunday night live, 8 p.m. Eastern, that's 7 Central, here in the Teach Better private Facebook group. As well, make sure you tune in every morning, 7 a.m. Eastern, 6 Central, to Teach Better Today, our daily morning show with a variety of Teach Better family guests and co-hosts helping you kickstart each and every day in a positive and inspiring way. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight. We look forward to catching up with you again, and have a wonderful week in education. Take care.